Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Jim Brown was one of the best football players ever. He was one of America's first politically outspoken black athletes. He spoke highly of Muhammad Ali, but he criticized Martin Luther King. He endorsed Richard Nixon. He's praised Donald Trump, and he has a history of hitting women. You will meet the author of a new biography of Jim Brown. Dave Zirin is going to join us later in the show. I hope you can stay tuned. First of all, our top story today. Here on KUOW, we've been bringing you stories of men being held accountable for their treatment of women at work. This next story involves one of Governor Inslee's cabinet members. The head of the State Employment Security Department was accused of making female co-workers uncomfortable, but he was allowed to remain on the payroll until he reached retirement age. Here to tell you more is KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Hi, Austin.
Hello.
This cabinet member we're talking about, as I said, former head of the State Employment Security Department, Dale Peineke. What was he accused of?
Well, he was accused of making some of the women who worked in this agency uncomfortable with his behavior. He was the type of boss, according to this investigation, who would put his arm around you, who would have physical contact with you when he was engaging. Not always, but enough that it drew the attention and in some cases the concern and complaint of some of these staff members. What happened is one staff member filed a formal complaint with the federal employment organization, EEOC, and said that she felt like she had been a victim, and that that triggered then this internal investigation where the investigator went into the agency and spoke with 16 employees, 10 of whom described experiencing or witnessing behavior by Peineke that they felt was inappropriate. I should note other employees defended him as, yes, perhaps a little bit touchy-feely, but in a kind of gregarious, friendly way, and also just described him as outgoing and that they said that they weren't bothered by his conduct.
And what has Peineke said about the allegations and his behavior?
Well, he was interviewed by this investigator as well and had a chance to tell his side of the story, and he said that he was dumbfounded by these allegations. He said that he had been involved in athletics and coaching and that perhaps that was his reason for being kind of hands-on and physical, and it was a way of encouraging people. The allegation that he was staring at women's breasts or looking them up and down, not making eye contact or making eye contact after looking somebody up and down, he said that that was completely out of character. He wasn't aware if he was doing that. He noted that maybe he was trying to read somebody's ID badge to remember names because that wasn't one of his, he struggled to do that. Again, several of the women who were spoken to said that this was really uncomfortable behavior. One female employee who was not identified in the report told the investigator, quote, "I have never had a man gawk at me in such an obviously leering way."
And as you said, this investigation found that Peineke was, quote, "vulnerable to claims of harassment with sexual overtones." That investigation ended in February. What happened after that?
That investigation ended in February, and then the governor announced, after reviewing the report and after hearing that Peineke was preparing to announce his retirement, that Peineke had submitted his resignation and was going to be resigning from the agency. There's actually a resignation letter that I obtained through public records where Peineke says that he is submitting his resignation and that he intended to stay on and to help with the transition and retire from state service on June 30th. Keep in mind, this was in March of this year. So at the same time the Peineke is announcing his retirement, the governor's office is announcing his resignation. And at the time, the governor said that they were working to, as fast as humanly possible, to make this transition, that Peineke would not be staying until June 30th. It wasn't clear at the moment, at the time, how long he would stay, but he needed to finish up some stuff, and then they'd be moving on to a transition.
So, Austin, I want to be clear. The state officially didn't say that Peineke was being forced to resign, forced out because of his conduct toward women. They called it a retirement, right?
Well, what's interesting about this, and part of what drew my attention to this, is that the difference in how it was handled and messaged. You were correct that the governor did not ask for his resignation. The governor received a letter from him saying that he was resigning and planning to retire from state service at the end of the month, the end of June, that is, when he turned 65. The announcement from the governor's office described this as a resignation, but the announcement from the Employment Security Department that same day, in fact, minutes before this governor's statement went out back in March, said that this was a retirement and touted his accomplishments over 5.5 years. And there was reference to this investigation, but not in the context that Peineke himself had been the focus of it. So minus or absent the governor's announcement, if you had just read what Employment Security put out, you would have said, oh, here's somebody who has had a successful career, 5.5 years at this agency, is retiring when he turns 65. And oh, there's some reference to some sort of conduct investigation, but it's not clear it's about him. So when you pair the two side by side, very different treatment of the same issue, if you will.
And you say that the governor's office had said they were working on quickly finding someone new, but Peineke did stay on the payroll all the way until the end of June. And why was that?
So part of what I wanted to do in looking at, taking a second look at this and seeing what actually happened after the announcement was, well, how is this handled? So what we know is that after the governor made the announcement, Peineke continued to run the agency as the commissioner, but he did so remotely. He was teleworking. And what I was told by the governor's office is that this was out of respect for the women who had complained. They didn't have an immediate transition plan. There was no deputy commissioner in place at that time. Either that position had been eliminated or wasn't currently filled. And this is a big, complicated agency. So they kept him on, but rather than that being for a few weeks or maybe a month, it ended up being 2 months that he was working remotely. During this time, he took a couple of business trips, one to Houston, one to Sacramento. And it wasn't until May that then a transition plan was put in place, and they put an interim commissioner in place and hired a permanent commissioner. And at that point, Peineke went on leave from his job, stayed on leave until June 30th, when he left state service. He'd turned 65 by that point and was able to retire.
Yes, he had turned 65. He stayed on long enough to turn 65. How much extra money will Peineke make because he worked until that point?
Probably not a lot. Keep in mind that this is somebody who, and this was, he was touted in 2013 when Governor Inslee first took office as somebody who was coming from the private sector. He'd worked in the aerospace manufacturing industry before, so he spent most of his career in the private sector. He left the private sector to run this agency that manages unemployment benefits, is mostly federally funded, I should note as well. And he was, by the way, being paid about $160,000 a year in this position. But his retirement, because he was only working for the state for 5.5 years, is pretty limited. His according to retirement services, he's making about $750 a month in retirement. Had he left in March or April, he still would have qualified for that when he turned 65, but he would have lost a couple of months of credit. So it would have been probably negligible in terms of the amount of the benefit he is getting. But the fact of the matter is that in the end, the timeline he articulated ended up being more the timeline that became the reality than the timeline that the governor indicated it would be back in March.
Okay, finally, Austin, we just have 30 seconds. Does the state acknowledge any wrongdoing? Did they say, no, we followed the protocol?
No acknowledgement of wrongdoing. I think, again, what's most noteworthy here is how the governor's office and this agency, cabinet agency, messaged this differently, how long it took for Peineke to go. And I think probably everybody would acknowledge that this did take longer than they had originally envisioned. It was slow.
It was slow. You can read Austin's write-up of this story with a photo there, by the way, that turned out to be quite a source of controversy, apparently, in the office. That's at our website, KUOW.org. Austin, thanks for telling us the story.
You're welcome.
Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent. We'll be right back.